Blog Talk Radio. To all you fabulous listeners out there. My name is Meredith, also known as Foxy Mama. Here in this forum, we encourage you all to listen, call in, and share your amazing stories with us. Please feel free to ask questions pertaining to your weight loss journey, nutrition, wellness, fitness, and healthy lifestyles. And now, with no further ado, I am proud to introduce the host of our show, Big Dreams Talk Radio, Steve, the Health Minister Nicander.
Good evening. Welcome to Big Dreams Radio. I'm your host, Steve Sir Dropalot Nicander, a.k.a. the Health Minister. And I myself have been on a weight loss and health recovery journey for just over 2 years now. In that time, I've managed to lose about nearly 400 pounds with nutrition from whole foods and lots of water and a moderate to vigorous fitness plan. So through this journey, I've become a health activist, a safe foods advocate, a speaker, and now a writer as well. But I've also become involved with producing a new and upcoming docu-based self-improvement reality show called Big Dreams. And it's one of my big dreams is to reach out to those still in the desperate need of motivation and inspiration so they can make that mind, body, food, and fitness connection in order to get themselves turned around in the right direction towards health and fitness. I wish to help these individuals with their chronic disease problems. I help them identify their lifestyle and nutrition choices and helping them to correct these. Also trying to help and educate them on how true and sound nutrition can really help them eliminate chronic disease and illness, just as it has with me. Of course, weight and the related issues being one of our main focuses and specialties. I like to motivate, speak, and inspire these people to take back control in their life and redirect them towards so that they can maximize and optimize their health and well-being. I encourage them to believe in themselves because ultimately it all begins and ends with our brain, our control center. And although in order to have complete wellness or balance, homeostasis, if you will, we must create an equilibrium in all three main phases, mind, body, and spirit. So let's take this journey together and explore many areas of healthful living so that we can all live out better lives and become the best that we can be. Now, I've been really excited about this week, not only because when we decided that we were going to come up with a radio show, this is one of the first people I just thought, man, I can't wait to be able to talk to. Met him in L.A. when we went out, when Kristen and I went out to L.A. He's part of our Big Dreams team. We're very like-minded when it comes to nutrition, and actually we both have this love of cooking as well. It's really been exciting. And it's kind of apropos for tonight. I had just finished cooking here at my roommates and I. My roommates will enjoy it when they get home. I made a nice, healthy fall chicken stew with some chicken sausage, some Cabernet smoked chicken sausage with a bunch of fall vegetables, including butternut squash and carrots and all kinds of stuff like that. It came out really well. I just finished my bowl about 5 minutes ago before we started, so I'm all at my nutrition level up. And so let's just, let's get right into it. I want to welcome Chef Shedrick, the Healthful Chef, to Big Dreams Radio. Welcome, Shedrick. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great, Steve. How are you?
I am doing excellent. Excellent. So,
thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, let's start right off the bat, and one of the basic and first questions I would probably have for you is, what led you into cooking? And was it because of a family upbringing, or exactly what influenced you to become a chef?
Well, as far as cooking, I was a mama's boy. So I was always watching my mom, my aunts, and everyone cook. And I think that's where the original love of food came from. While I was studying hotel restaurant management, I started to gain relationships with chefs. And I started to just be blown away by what I saw chefs able to do with food, things that it was mind-boggling, things that I just couldn't imagine doing with food. And that's what led me to pursue the culinary degree and to, get formally trained in cooking. But I've always had a passion, from the time I watched my mom cook. And surprisingly, my dad, who's from the South, was a wonderful cook. I mean, he pretty much rivaled my mom in the kitchen. So both parents influenced me. I just grew up in the kitchen.
Great. So and exactly where have you studied, and what exactly have you studied? Because I know you've actually studied a little of the science of food as well, didn't you?
Absolutely. I was at Cal Poly Pomona University here in Southern California. That's where I earned my bachelor's degree. As a part of my focus there, food management was my official major, as part of my study there, I took a series, and that was my passion. I got really interested in food science. So I took all the food science courses which are available at the school, and it also has a major in food science, but I chose to major in the restaurant management side with an emphasis in food science.
Right.
And then from there, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
But like I said, while there, I just got so interested in culinary arts that I proceeded immediately after graduation to go to the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York.
And that is, that's probably one of the more well-known institutions, culinary institutes in the country. And, there they actually take it to a whole new level, don't they?
Well, what was fascinating about it, more so than the technical experience and the technical training, which is it's unrivaled, the resources that are there on campus. But more than that, it's just the lifestyle that you experience during the 2 year the 2 years that you're at the school. From dawn to dusk, we pretty much ate natural whole food. I mean, pretty much everything on campus, because of the students, we train and we feed each other.
Right.
So you really don't find, I kind of jokingly, I joke with some of my friends, and say, you really couldn't find just a basic food item there. You know, everything was done with a chutney, an exciting relish, or, you know, if even condiments, we made our condiments. You'd find homemade ketchup and homemade mustards and all these different things.
Right. All the sauces, all the great, everything you make from scratch. Everybody just cooks everything from scratch, you know?
Everything. Everything on campus. So the lesson that's taking place in a institution like that, beyond the book reading, beyond the courses that you have to take in culinary math and all this different stuff, because there is a core curriculum, but beyond that, you're living excellent food every day. From breakfast to dinner, you're really being exposed. So it's really hard to go through a program like that and not come out really loving fresh, whole, prepared food that you prepare from scratch.
Right, absolutely. So we got our first caller in here is Jeffrey White, and so welcome to Big Dreams Radio, Jeffrey. And how you doing?
Well, it's nice to be here. I'm doing good. How are both of you tonight?
Great, Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm probably the only person not watching the Tiger game in Detroit.
Right, I know. That's right. You guys are playing. So, what was your question
for
the
show?
What's that? I have a question,
Chef. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm not a big cook, nor is my wife, but you know what? I really, now that fall is setting in up here, do you have any easy, healthy pumpkin recipes? Something that you can grab that pumpkin taste without doing the pumpkin cream pie kind of thing?
But go ahead.
No, I'm done. I want to know, do you have any, because I was on your website, I didn't, maybe it's just me not being able to navigate through it the way I should, but I didn't see anything.
I just spent the summer revamping the website, and so I'm right in the process now of just loading a ton of stuff, and so you'll see, if you visit frequently, you'll see every time you visit, there's just going to be more recipes, more tips, and all those different types of things. But as far as pumpkin recipes, I have a basic philosophy, and what I loved about my meeting with Steve, and I believe we just hit it off just right away. One of the first things out of Steve's mouth was that, you know, I did this. How I achieved what I achieved was by eating pure, you know, organic and when possible, natural, whole foods. That's all I had to hear. We were kindred spirits from that point on. So with that said, my philosophy, my approach to food is simplicity. So something like a pumpkin, a nice fall squash or things in that category, I love to take a product like that and just cut it into nice bite-sized chunks. So it looks really nice on the plate. Season it with fresh spices, because there's some great spices that harmonize with the fall and winter foods. And I'm talking about your cinnamon. I'm talking about your clove, a little nutmeg, those combinations of wintry fall type spices with that.
Well, you know,
seasonal.
They taste good,
pumpkin.
Too. They taste good. They're satisfying.
And it's just going to bring out. See, what I'm trying not to do is to cover the natural flavor of the pumpkin just to enhance it. And just add a little more interest to it. Drizzle it with a little honey. I don't know how you feel about citrus. If you like, I'm a big fan of citrus. We grow a lot of citrus here in California. But squeeze a little orange and season with those nice spices. And roast it in the oven, and I like to finish with salt. That way, I can control the amount of salt that goes into the food. Finish with a nice quality salt, a sea salt, or I'm a big fan of a Himalayan rock salt because it's so pure and it
salt on pumpkin. Oh, that's interesting.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to bring out just to sprinkle with just
enough
salt.
Yeah, it will actually bring out the flavor. So if you just put enough on it and not over inundate it, it actually will bring out that natural flavor even more. It's crazy, but it does it. It really does. It's awesome.
Interesting.
You know, and I was just talking to somebody else, and they were making a it's actually Dr. Amen. He loves to do, and in fact, his wife, Tana, is the cook in their family. She's an excellent cook. She's a nutritional nurse. But she does like a pumpkin soup. And it's the same premise as Shedrick was just talking about, by roasting that squash or the pumpkin and then actually like pureeing it and incorporating
it. Now, that
it
sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah. Like with it like a chicken broth or something
like that.
Is it like a cold
soup?
Well, no, I think he does it warm, but I bet you could even do it cold as well, and especially if you're going to incorporate like the cinnamon and nutmeg, like Shed said. I think you could probably either go either way on that, you know, and even maybe even add a little low-fat cream to that and cream it out into like a bisque or something like that. You could also do. Those kinds of things, and it's so helpful, you know, all that kind of stuff. Pumpkin is really great, and isn't it potassium as well, Jen?
Pardon me?
I said
no,
isn't pumpkin. Go ahead.
No, I was going to point out the health benefits of several of the components we just talked about.
Right, exactly.
The pumpkin is a superfood, and it's considered it's amongst the healthiest food on earth. Cinnamon is in that same category, and I mentioned a little citrus, the oranges. What I tried to do is I wove two additional ingredients, which your third ingredient, all of them superfoods, with great antioxidant benefits. The pumpkin is full of the carotenoids that are great antioxidants.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing that's in carrots. Anything that's that color has those carotenoids in it, and they are excellent, helpful benefits to that. So we got another caller in here.
Well,
Sandra.
Thank you, guys.
How are you doing, Jeff?
Oh, you're
welcome,
welcome,
Jeff. Is Sandra there?
I am.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, thanks.
You have a question for our chef for us?
Yeah, I did.
Hi,
my question is, hi there. We've talked before, but for weight loss surgery patients, you know, you're talking about pure foods, organic foods, natural foods, and I find that as an athlete and a weight loss surgery patient, I'm not getting enough protein without doing bars and supplements and that, and I hate that kind of stuff. So do you have any advice for us on packing in the extra protein that we need without having to do all the extra processed stuff?
I am a big fan of legumes for protein, the rich protein source. It's a plant-based source of protein, and when prepared right, flavored, seasoned right, I mean, they're just delicious. My favorite legume is, at least my personal, is black beans. I love black beans. The Cubans are famous for a traditional black bean soup that I think is wonderful.
Love it.
And, I mean, take that, add a little avocado or tomato sauce or something as an accent to it.
Mm.
Adds texture. You get a little bit of the healthy fats from the avocado along with that high protein from the legumes. And I think you just have a wonderful dish.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, beans are a great, excellent source. In fact, I'm living with a weight loss surgery patient right now. And, one of the things she loves to do is like the turkey chili. It's a great thing. You're incorporating the protein from the turkey. You're adding those legumes, those beans, and you're getting a power pack. And we've actually kicked it up and really made it helpful now. So we're incorporating all kinds of extra things like garbanzo, chickpeas.
A
spinach. Yeah, like a spinach and some dark greens into it. Now,
wow.
People would say, oh, what are you talking about? You're putting dark greens into a chili. But I'm telling you, it is so good. So it actually becomes like a turkey vegetarian power-packed protein chili, but it is awesome. I mean, you're getting so much nutritionally packed in there. And the thing about it is, you know, calorically, as both of you and I would stress, you know, you can really get something that is really tasty. You know, when people always talk about healthy foods, a lot of people always think it's got to taste crappy to be healthy. And a lot of the stuff that you get in your stores right now, the prepackaged, healthful, as they call stuff, it is exactly that. It's unappetizing. You eat it. It's not that great tasting. And I think, like you just said, if you take whole foods, keep them simple, incorporate just a little bit of spices here or there, and then, you know, because you don't want to take away the natural flavors of the food. And, you know, it's amazing that when I started this journey and I started really delving into the whole foods, my palate and my taste buds and everything totally grew and got better again. You know, they were so dumbed down over the years. And then when I started back
into them, I think we're used to all that processed crap, you know, and it is,
yeah.
It's crap.
It is. And then when you start eating these simple foods again and those flavors just come out, and like said, you just don't even have to inundate it with spice or even salt or anything like that. You get the flavor and everything tastes so well, you know. And then and one of the great things I like to do, Xandra, is I like to go out and eat, but I always like to go out and eat something new, and then I go home and I try to recreate it, you know. I mean that's like my new favorite thing to do is I'll go out somewhere, find a meal, and then I'm like, oh, I can do that at home. I'm sure you do that shit all the time, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so happy to hear you. I mean, you just took the words right out of my mouth, because it is what's wonderful, I think. And as you like you talked about going on the journey, as your palate develops and your palate grows, like I said, I went through a 2-year experience where I was just exposed to nothing but wonderful food. You don't leave an experience like that without being changed. And your experience with going towards wholesome food as part of your weight loss plan, I mean, you got the same essential experience. And so when you can bite into or take a spoonful of an item and you can taste all of the various components, you can taste them harmonizing in your mouth, that is just – and we don't get that in a lot of the processed food because it's tainted with preservatives and additives to promote a long shelf life. I understand the reason
either
behind
salty,
it.
It either tastes salty or it tastes sugary or both.
Yeah, it's one-dimensional. You don't get the full range. I look at food like the taste experience like a symphony where you want to be able to hear all of the various notes of all the various instruments and hear them in harmony with one another. But I'm so glad you brought that subject up. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and also I wanted you to give us your philosophy on why healthful eating is so important to us as human beings, and then maybe back that up with maybe one of your favorite quotes or sayings when it comes to healthy food.
I love that question. My fundamental philosophy is as far as healthy food is concerned, is I tie it to the epidemic that we're experiencing right now with obesity, as well as the major killer diseases is what I call them.
Lifestyle diseases.
Absolutely. What tugs at my heart, what moves me with regards to healthy eating, is trying to get people who have been caught in this cycle out of it, educating people, making them aware that there are alternatives to our approach to food right now, the industrial approach to food, and that we can get out of it. And some of the things that the myths that we hear are untrue. That's one of the things I want to point out. We talk about it's too expensive to eat healthy. It's not. How much does a pumpkin cost? How much does it cost for herbs and spices? How much does the fresh fruit cost? So there are a lot of myths out there with regard to healthful food. My goal is to bust the myths. My goal is to get as many people as possible on board with this journey. And that's why you inspire me, Steve. You really do, because I think you just represent what I believe about healthful food, because when I heard your story, I mean, you nearly brought tears to my eyes when I heard your story of how you just radically turned your life around. If I can inspire people to do what you've done through my cooking demonstrations, through interviews like this, or through whatever means I can find, that's my philosophy. Now, as far as far as quotes, there's one quote that just sticks out to me, and it's and the reason I love this quote is because we think, and we get called health nuts. We get painted with this, you know, we're liberal crazy tree huggers. I mean, we get called all I get called all kinds of things, and it's okay. But I want people to know that this movement towards healthy eating is ancient. It's old. It's been around. We're not a bunch of crazies that just fell out of the trees and bumped our heads. And the quote comes from Hippocrates, who's the quote father. He's a Greek philosopher / physician. He's the father of medicine. And what he says, "Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." And this quote goes back to the BC. This is a BC, before Christ quote. I believe it's 300 BC is when Hippocrates lived. And so we're going back to ancient times, this idea of food being the source of health and our health being related to our food is not a new idea. And that's the point I want to make. I mean, I'm not certain about the dates and all those facts. I can research. But the point is this: it's not new. We're not trying anything new. We're just trying to get people back to a sensible.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Get back to whole foods, because I mean, you know, I think it's the society and the times we lived in or the times we live in now, and where we want things so fast and so furious, that we forget how simple foods can just be so nutritious and so helpful for us. So we got another caller in. Amanda's on the line. So how you doing tonight, Amanda?
Hi, Amanda.
I'm doing super well. How are you gentlemen doing?
Oh, terrific.
Thank you. So my question is, what would you suggest for, you know, people that struggle with, like, potassium levels? Because I know a lot of leafy greens contain potassium. So when you have to shy away from that, what would be your greatest suggestion?
Okay, for potassium, I'm a big fan. And I buy mainly tomato, but it's a vegetable juice that I buy. It's all natural. It's all fresh vegetables. Like I said, it's mainly tomatoes, but it's very high in potassium. And I like to drink that in lieu of obviously I don't drink the soft drink or the sugary beverages, but I like to drink that all throughout the day. And go ahead.
It was really geared more for someone that struggles with high potassium. Potatoes, leafy greens, things like that, you know, have a lot of potassium in them. So,
avoid the potassium.
Right.
Oh,
right. So, you know, when a greatest part of your meal daily is salads, leafy greens, things like that, how do you substitute, you know, that filler?
Well, there are the carotenoid vegetables. They're not high in potassium. The potassium is going to be in your green leafy vegetables. Your cruciferous vegetables are relatively high in potassium. So that leaves you a really good range of fresh vegetables that aren't high in potassium. I'm talking about your carrots. I'm talking about everything from eggplant to
And explain to our listeners when you say cruciferous exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about like broccoli, right? And,
The broccolis are high in potassium. You know, cabbage in that family, the cauliflower, and all those different vegetables. They have great healing abilities, and they've been associated with cancer prevention and cancer fighting. They happen to also be rich in potassium, generally speaking.
Okay. Thank you.
But that leaves you a whole range. What are there What could you tell me a little bit about the diet that is it for yourself or someone else?
No, this is myself. My situation is a bit different than Steve's or general dieters because I am a weight loss surgery patient.
Okay.
So I still keep about anywhere from, 700 to 1,000 calories a day. Okay. Try to keep my protein as close to 100, carbs as much under 100 as possible, fat right around 20 to 22 grams a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I did eat a lot of salads, also a lot of potatoes, and what else was high in potassium that I ate? I can't think off the top of my head. But I have found in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks with my labs coming back that my potassium was substantially high to where my doctor, said I had to cut those things out. And I'm just finding that I relied so much on lettuce, baby spinach, arugula, things like that to fill me. That now my choices are just a lot slimmer for things to put in.
So
yeah,
did your
doctor take your level and then saw that it was like really high?
Yeah, I have labs done probably every 4 to 6 months, and within these last few months, I had some colds and things like that. So electrolytes were playing a big role into that. And the potassium was just a lot higher than he was comfortable with. So for the next few weeks, he really wanted me to stay away from those things. But in the meantime, I'm kind of hungry.
Right? Yeah.
I'm hungry. And true, I can eat chicken breast, and there's other things to eat. But I kind of enjoy it.
Do you enjoy fruits?
I do, but then again, I'm really, even though they're good carbs, I try to be really careful.
Yeah, because they can't have a certain amount of sugar as well, too. So even though it's natural sugar,
uh-huh.
they can't overload on sugar either because they'll have problems with that, too. But, I would probably, the best bet is just to start to look up. I mean, there, like you said, there's a lot of foods out there that are still very helpful for you that aren't loaded with potassium. A lot of those dark green stuff, they are, and they also have protein in them as well, so that's one of the reasons that you're eating them. But there's got to be, and I'm just trying to think, if there's something, well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can still get your protein count, but...
I'm definitely still pushing protein. I've had to add, a couple of protein shakes and things like that into my day-to-day. I guess it's just really thinking the outside of the box for me at this point. I've become so dependent on my leaves.
And it becomes me too. Don't you actually crave them?
I do. I look for a salad absolutely every day. Absolutely every day.
I just crave.
And honey, I had not eaten a salad in 20 years. You couldn't catch me with some leaf in my mouth. I promise you.
Maybe just start Googling foods that aren't high in potassium and see what comes up. I mean, that's how I kind of did things that I wasn't sure of. It's a really good thing about the internet.
While we were talking, I was just flipping through some books here in my library, and I'm looking at things like chicory, which is a leafy vegetable, which here it's showing that... it's relatively low in potassium compared to other vegetables. And lettuce, I'm looking at just your typical plain lettuce.
Your romaines and all that kind of stuff are probably low in potassium as well.
I'm looking at like just a leafy romaine lettuce. It's showing it at for a 3 ounce serving, less than 200 milligrams of potassium. Compared to about two or more times that for say a spinach, but I think what's probably would be the best thing is to do just a little research because off the top of my head I don't have these figures.
Sure.
A little research and you may be able to keep your lettuce, but just choose certain types.
Right.
That
I'm a strict baby spinach eater, so that certainly could be contributing to that then, maybe using different leaves.
That may be your answer.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So we have another caller on the line, Amanda. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to Big Dreams Radio. What is your question for our guest tonight?
Well, my question is, I too am a weight loss surgery patient. I'm almost a year post-op. I've lost approximately about 140 pounds so far, but I've noticed recently within the last 2 months that my scale has stopped moving almost completely. And I wanted to know something of natural, maybe like spices or something that could boost my metabolism and get me going again.
Well,
can I touch on that? Am I wrong to want to touch on that?
Well, I guess I'm trying. The metabolism is, I don't know if the most of the time for metabolism is going to, the recommendation is going to be like your green tea or your various peppers, your capsicum peppers, but I don't know in terms of impact, how impactful that's going to be in terms of overall weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, because she said spices, and I can't even think right across on the top of my head of what spice would actually boost your metabolism as well. I think your correct assumption of green tea absolutely is a natural one because, you know, obviously even say a little bit of coffee because of that natural caffeine can actually boost your metabolism. But I think overall, as far as food is concerned, I don't even know if there's really powerhouse foods that can absolutely boost your metabolism as per se. Spice-wise, that is a really good question, like I said, that I don't know about. The one to me, obviously, is the obvious one is the exercise part. That's the thing to me that I know, and we're actually, I was going to ask Shed that in a little bit, because obviously he believes in fitness, that other key part, you know.
I don't want to mislead you, and that's why I don't. Obviously, if you add cayenne pepper, because there's been some bad diets that have relied on cayenne pepper and things like that to boost the metabolism. I just don't believe that the degree of impact, the number of calories per day that's going to be burned, in addition to normal calories because of adding spices to your diet. I don't know that it'll be significant enough to make a difference.
Okay. Yeah, because some of my friends had mentioned maybe the cayenne pepper and also taking cinnamon tablets, and I didn't know how much effect that would have.
I do take cinnamon every single day, but it's really not for metabolism. It's really more of a blood glucose control, and
okay.
It also has several other helpful effects to it too. I wouldn't discontinue taking that if it makes you feel good. I mean, I know I would. I take it religiously. It's just one of those things that, again, when we're talking about ancient remedies, the Chinese have used cinnamon forever for all kinds of different things. And when I had been on diabetic medication, that was one of the first things I ran across in my studies of the Chinese and the ancient Asian medicinal herbs and spices was cinnamon, because it just has so many helpful effects. So who knows? I mean, if you delve a little more into that research on cinnamon, it might actually come up with something about metabolism. But I know it is highly, highly medicinal. That's for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I'm just trying to research the different avenues, you know, because, I mean, I've got my tool and I'm using it to the best of my ability, but it just seems like here lately I've just been at a slow, you know, stall, and I just want to get everything back.
Yeah, and I've been there
and
too,
move.
You know, and it's those darn plateaus. And you know what I found, and that's what I was just talking to about a trainer at the gym, is we kind of get used to certain, at least in my fitness program, we get used to certain things. And I've been doing like a certain thing like on my recumbent or whatever, but you just said, you know, your body's become so acclimated, and so your metabolism isn't getting boosted anymore until you totally change it up. So I think sometimes when you want to boost your metabolism, maybe just try to start incorporating a new set of fitness activities, something that's going to switch it up and kind of confuse your body, because I think muscle confusion when it comes to fitness also is a great thing, because it confuses the body, and the body has to adjust, and putting more, like I'm adding a little more weight, and I'm actually almost, I've started this Summit trainer. It's like this fully, it's like a combination of an elliptical and a stair climber and this whole thing. But it's very, very difficult, and I can only go like 10 minutes or so far on it yet. But the amount of calories that you burn and how hard it is and how quickly it puts your heart rate up and spikes your heart rate. I think that's the other thing, is when we want to boost our, and we can actually train our metabolism by boosting it, boost training, or what do you want to call it, integral circuit training. It's got a lot of different descriptions, but you want to boost that heart rate, and then you want to like let it come back down. So you want to boost it for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and then kind of let it fall back down. And I think it's the spiking of our exercise that's actually going to retrain our metabolism, and then you'll find yourself actually wanting to eat more as well too. Because I know that as soon as I started changing up the things, I actually became more hungry, and so you don't want to discontinue eating. In fact, you'll find if you start to boost your metabolism, probably actually you get more hungry. You yourself said you're into fitness as well. I saw that when I met you guys out there. How important? I mean, just describe. I know nutrition, and we all know how nutrition makes an amazing effect on our bodies too. But fitness plays an integral part in this equation as well, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. The analogy I would use, because I've tried it all three ways. I've tried it with fitness alone, I've tried it with diet alone, and I've tried it in combination with diet and fitness. I liken it to a jet plane with two engines, one on each wing. And I really think, ideally, you need both jets going at full force to reach your goals and to really optimize your health. But that would be in a perfect world. Without the fitness, I think it really takes you a lot longer if you have a weight loss goal, or even if you're trying to, like I said, optimize your health. I think it's a little bit more difficult, because what I find is that it's so interconnected. I know you're a big fan, and I know Dr. Amen was really the catalyst to your life change through his book, Change Your Brain and Change Your Body. And I think he's, of all the authors that I've read on the subject, he really drives that point home that it's sort of interconnected. So take, for example, your exercise is going to affect your hormones, it's going to affect your metabolism, it's going to affect your mood. It's going to have so many effects on what you do, your body, until taking that away or taking it out of the equation, it would be a huge loss for anybody striving to be overall healthy, striving for holistic health. So I think the exercise is a huge part, but of course, I live in the world of food, and I can't imagine a situation where you're trying to optimize without the nutrition part as well.
I think
they're interconnected.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the combination of the two gives you, like you said, it optimizes or maximizes your effort and your progress as well. I know if I hadn't done both of those at the same time with the full effort that I have been doing, I wouldn't have made the great strides that I had. I mean, I definitely had planned a longer experience in weight loss than I've actually done. I mean, it's been almost me. Sometimes I even think about it, like when I'm sitting here working on my book, and I'm just like, wow, it just kind of blows me away. But again, I was given and I got enough of the right information and started incorporating that to the maximum effort that obviously to see the results. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a great combination of both. So we got Z on the line. So welcome, Z. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I think Amanda had something for Amanda or something.
Thank you, Dee. I appreciate you. Amanda, one weight loss surgical patient to another, push your protein before your carbs. That protein makes your body work to process it, whereas the carbs, it doesn't work as hard to get it through.
Right. I try to avoid the carbs at all costs. I try, you know, how we do, we eat our protein first and then the small vegetables
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. I try to avoid the carbs at all costs, but the doctor said, on the other hand, you want to make sure you get your complex carbs in versus your simple carbs, of course, our slider foods that we all love, you know, we want to avoid. So I just trying to get everything moving.
A diet that, again, I stick to is the 40-40-20 diet. I'm not saying follow it. I'm just saying maybe read up on it to try to see about your intake. And I would just, again, push the protein, and as the gentleman said, exercise. I myself am just 3 weeks shy of my one-year anniversary, and I'm down about 170. I might have been a little bit bigger. Yeah, I was pretty big. Highest weight was 565. I'm 277 today.
Wow.
Yes, girl, get that protein and get out there and walk, and you'll see those pounds start to come back off.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I started at 402, and October 25th will be my 1 year. And like I said, I'm down to 268 now, and been
wow.
through the dehydration and all of that and stuff like that. So on Saturday, I'm running my first 5K, which I never in a million years thought I would do.
Congratulations!
Wow. And vitamins. Take your vitamins.
Yeah. Okay. Keep that hydration going, because that's telling you,
and
more water you drink. It almost, for me, it almost becomes like my gas, you know. I sit there and I, you know, some people at the gym look at me like I'm crazy, because sometimes I consume like way over a liter of water just while I'm riding on the bike or something, and they're like, why are you drinking all that water? I'm like, because it's like my fuel. It keeps me going. It is a liquid nutrient, by the way. You know, Dr. Amon says that to me all the time, and he's like, you know that water is the vital liquid nutrient, and we need more of it. I mean, most people don't drink enough. And I'm a safe water advocate as well, because there's a lot of water out there that's not that great for us. So if you can, maybe kind of rely on a reverse osmosis or some type of water. I always recommend Aquafina in a plastic bottle. That's what you got to buy. Just because it's filtered, like 98% pure. You want something that's pure, that's not inundated with the extra chlorine and all that extra stuff, because I think all that extra residual stuff just doesn't help our bodies. And again, when we're talking simplicity, you know, our bodies are made and our whole humans are made to be at an optimum state of health. I think it's those things that sometimes we do to ourselves by what we intake to kind of like degrade our body. And sometimes we always forget about our water. So, like when we're talking about water, I'm always saying, make sure your water is safe. So, did you have a question, Dee, for us?
I do, Chef. I'm so glad to get to talk to you. I haven't had the chance to meet you yet. This is Zee.
I know. I had hoped that you would come out, but I know you're too busy for the trip.
Too busy.
But
I have a real job.
Yes, you do.
Hey, listen, I'm a vegetarian, and I would love to have the scoop on vital gluten, otherwise known as seitan, with all the talk about, you know, people being so anti-gluten these days. Can you tell me the scoop on that? Because I love the taste of it.
I've seen the ads on that, but I have to admit, I haven't researched it, because I've been at this. I've been a big advocate of nutrition for about a decade now, and I've seen a lot of those things come and go. So I must admit, I have my bias against unresearched things has caused me not to jump in and get an appreciation for that. So I honestly can't offer anything on that.
Okay, I love the taste of it, and I know
soy's been getting a bad rap lately itself,
uh-huh.
and I tell you, I've had a couple of meals of chicken fried seitan that almost tasted
uh-huh.
like a chicken fried steak, and I just wondered if it was okay or not. So,
I think your
soy is fine as long as you're just getting safe soy. You know, there's a lot of GMO stuff out there now, so as long as you're eating soy and you're not overdoing it, of course, at your age, you don't really have to worry that much about those kind of female effects that they say kind of happen when you inundate yourself with soy. But still, as long as you make sure that it's safe, you know, what is it, the edamame? I always mess that up. How do you say that, Jay?
Edamame.
Edamame, yeah. No, all that different stuff. I mean, it is a great, and it's a protein source as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not against, and the brand that I'm most familiar with is the Gardein brand, and I know there's some people out there, some really well-known chefs who are big advocates of it, who are vegan, and I've tried the Gardein product, and it literally tastes really good. You can't tell that you're not eating animal-based protein.
Mm-hmm.
But again, from a strict health as a purist, and I'm not always a purist because I believe you can eat anything you want, anything in moderation, and I often do. But I really do think that the less processed soy, from a research standpoint, has been without any controversy, like the edamame, even the soy or the tempeh, and those forms of the soy products, I know for certain that they have a good record, a good history. We've studied them in cultures like the Asian cultures, and they have great health benefits with very few issues. It's the soy products that are highly processed that tend to cause controversy, and it really depends on what research you look at.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Oh, and by the way, I do a mean version of a black bean chili with tempeh. I've learned to substitute that for the turkey, and you really can't, from a flavor standpoint. Yeah, you can't tell. You really can't tell the difference. If you're vegan, it's a wonderful option for black bean chili.
Can I talk you into emailing me that?
I'll take your recipe.
Awesome, awesome.
Okay,
thank you.
Before we get off,
you're
I really wanted to ask you now because I want our listeners to hear a little bit. But so you were able to help yourself with healthful eating, obviously. But even more poignant and possibly even more importantly, you helped your mother. So I wanted you to describe to our listeners out there how that all came about and what actually happened and how you were able to help her.
Well, it was the most frightening experience really in my life. My mom's up in age, and I mean, she's in her 80s now, and this was several years back. She's been someone who I've taken care of, and really, you know, like I said, I mentioned earlier, I'm a mama's boy, so I've always looked after my mom. And I walked in one day and found my mom passed out from a stroke, and we immediately got her emergency attention, and she went to the hospital. But at the time, she was quite a bit overweight, more than 100 pounds. And at the time, I was working as a R&D chef for a big name food company, creating dishes to get people to eat more of food that just, to be quite frank, just wasn't good for them. But I mean, I didn't really think about it. I was I'm a trained chef. My thing was to make food delicious. That's all I cared about, and I thought that was the important things. But you know, in retrospect, I was probably not focusing on the complete picture. But anyway, nonetheless, I found my mom. We got her health treatment, and what happened was she changed her diet, and I was a big part of that. Was I was involved with getting her to change her diet and getting some of the high sodium things and getting her onto more vegetables and all these different things. She lost over 100 pounds. and all the and she recovered fully from the stroke and the high blood pressure
blood
and all
pressure
the
under
other
control. Yep.
Got everything under control through diet, and it was for me that's all I needed. From that point on, I was convinced that I needed to take what I was doing with food, this idea of making food taste great. I mean, and I had all of the tools of the trade behind me. I had all the research and marketing. We did the focus groups. All that stuff was at my disposal. We're talking about multi-million-dollar budgets to develop food, and that was my craft. And so what I decided to do is to take all this learning and education about how to make food taste wonderful and get people to eat more of it and just focus it on the right types of food. And that's what I believe now is my life mission.
Awesome. I love that. So we got one more caller here, and it's Earl Kennedy. So how are you doing tonight, Earl?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, Earl.
Very well.
I'm doing great.
I have a question. You guys know I used to weigh 913 pounds at one time, and I've nearly lost 500 pounds. But when I was that heavy, I could eat two large pizzas by myself, no problem. I still love pizza, but I don't eat as much. But what is a good recipe that you recommend? That, you know, I still love pizza, and how to make it healthier?
That's a great question. Want to take that, Sid? I'll back you up.
Yeah, I would start off, and we're going to say healthier because, I mean, there are people who will argue, you know, it's kind of relative, but I would start off with a whole wheat crust to begin with. I would take, and here's the thing, the tomato sauce that goes in the pizza is a great source of nutrients. So what I'm trying to do is add on the nutrients that I think, Earl, that will benefit you from a health standpoint. So if you get the whole grains, that's going to give you some fiber. You bring in the tomato sauce, a really good quality tomato sauce that's not full of additives and all those things. If you have the opportunity to make it yourself, that would be great. But there are some good wholesome organic brands of tomato
low sodium
that you can find out there. And then from that point, I would add vegetables. And whatever type, I mean, if you're a big turkey fan or even if you like a nice grass-fed source of beef or lamb or anything like that, whatever meat, you can bring in your meat. And then
there's great turkey sausages. There's great chicken sausages nowadays. You can go to Trader Joe's. You can go to Whole Foods. There's a lot of places where you can get these lower-fat content sausages, and they'll taste like Italian. I mean, Trader Joe's themselves has the chicken sausage, and they must have a dozen different kinds, like feta and spinach, and, I mean, stuff that is loaded with protein, something you really need anyway as you're trying to lose weight. And it's the fat content is so low, it's compared to, you know, some of the fatty pork sausages and that kind of stuff you can add. You know, and one of the tricks I love to do, and to make it even faster, and I have to give props to the Biggest Loser because they're the ones that I actually got it from. But they use a whole wheat pita. So if you want to get yourself something really quick, grab yourself a bag of whole wheat pitas. And what I like to do is I'll take it really quick and maybe spray it with a little Tam or something. Toast it quickly in the oven at, I don't know, it's around 350 or whatever. You don't have to do it long, maybe 5 minutes or so. Then take it out. Build your pizza on it, and I do it every kind of way imaginable. If you like a barbecue chicken style pizza, you can make it like that. I do it like a Mexican style, like with like a salsa base and a low fat pepper jack cheese, and make it like Mexican style with olives and, you know, that kind of stuff. Jalapenos, fresh jalapenos. I like to use a lot of raw stuff, and then just pop it back in the oven. You can make it. Heck, I'm actually flirting with a seafood kind of one. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do some kind of like low fat white sauce kind of thing with it, and do it like that too. But I'm telling you, you're cutting down on fat, you're cutting down on sodium, and again, like Shed says, wait for your salt at the end, you know, when you bring it out and when you've got it all set, then maybe sprinkle a little. I really like to use a lot of Mrs. Dash. And then I'm using this new stuff called Vermont, and it's a real low sodium, but it's incorporated with a lot of spice and stuff. It's got but a low sodium base to it, but I use it on almost all my sauteing and vegetables and stuff because it gives it good flavor and you're not really jacking up the sodium. And, yeah, I think I love pizza myself. I mean, I've always loved pizza. And, you know, when I was in Chicago, when I went to go to Oprah, I broke down. My sister tore me down, and we did go in there, and we had the deep dish pizza. But I only had, like, a couple pieces, and it was good, yes. But by that time, I was so used to eating the healthful pizza that, I mean, I felt so, like, bloated. And then that whole rest of the day, we walked around Chicago, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I ate a turkey dinner, and I was so full. Because it just had all that heavy laden fat cheese and the sausage and all that stuff on it, and I was like, And so, there's a lot of ways to take those unhealthy meals and make them more healthy, right, Chet?
And the big difference with the makeover that Steve does, I mean, you just took it to a whole new level, Steve. the big difference with the makeover, taking the pizza and spinning it healthy, the key is the nutrient density. You just took an item that had a ton of calories and very few nutrients. When you talk about just a cheese laden, white flour, salty sauce, typical pizza, and you add your vegetables, you add a good quality source of protein based on your preference. You add the vegetables, the red sauce, and a whole wheat base. When you add that, you just taken something that was very low in nutrients and high in fat and salt and all these things, and made it a more nutrient dense product and lower in those bad calories, those bad sources of calories.
Well, I've even heard of I've done it one time, the big portobello mushrooms, kind of
scraping
the middle out and using that for a crust.
Oh, you absolutely can. That would be a. Then you're really creating a stuffed mushroom, but at the same, I mean, as far as it being
you can make it Italian style,
very Italian stuffed mushroom. That's terrific. And actually, it's
and you know,
to Kristen
does something. Yeah, Kristen does something as well. She and she's got it from a friend of ours who's a gastric chef. But she also uses the tortilla wrap. And use that, which is very thin, and then kind of do the same premise. You know, you put it on a cookie sheet and kind of put the cheese and the sauce and stuff on it. And it's really for the gastric bypass patients that can't really have a lot dense, that kind of dense food, but they still want to have a nice piece of pizza. And she's made it several times for me, and it's really, really, really good as well. So there's a lot of different ways that you can really kind of take the you know, take those comfort, we like to call them comfort foods, and kind of restructure them, give them a makeover, like Shed said. I believe that there's always a way to take even the worst kinds of foods and convert them into something with less fat, less salt, and less sugar, the big three, as I like to call them, and still get something that really tastes good, but is also nutrient dense and very, very good for you. Something that we will try and portray on our Big Dream show when we have you on, Shed, is to do exactly that. We want to have you take a typically normal food that might not be so good for you, you know, a typical normal, not so good for you meal, and then restructure, remake it over to taste wonderful, but actually be so beneficial and healthy for your body as well. I think that's one of the things we really want to incorporate in the show by having you on that. And that way we can give these ideas to people out there and they can actually start making those changes right at home and showing them, you know, that it's, like you said, it's not that expensive to go and get yourself whole foods. I mean, on the whole now, you can go to a market, a farmer's market, and you can get the produce, even organic produce, at a 40, maybe sometimes even 50% markdown in places if you went to a Whole Foods store or something like that. It is But once you have your sources, I found myself now, I shop, instead of going to one store, I end up going to like 4 or 5 different stores for certain things, because I know I can get this there at this price, or I can get that there, and I can get that there. So you get yourself a little more routine, might be a little more incorporated with the different places, but you end up getting helpful, beneficial food, nutrient-dense food, like we've been talking about, and that's going to make a really good and helpful nutritional difference in your life. Now, I know you've been working, like you said, you've been working hard on your revamping of your new website. I've been checking it out on a regular basis. It's looking really good. So let our listeners know out there exactly what that site is, and let's hear what you have done with it, and then also what they can expect to see in the very near future and be able to interact with that there.
Well, as I said, this has become really my life purpose, my ministry. I mean, this is what I do. So if you go to healthfulchef.com, what you will find is regular tips that I post on how to eat healthy. Anything, I'm always scouring the internet. I'm always scouring bookstores. I'm a voracious reader on the subject of health. So anything I find, I try and share it as quickly as I can. So you're going to find tips. I'm loading. When I revamped the site, what happened, I had to remove all the content. And what I'm doing now, and it's all in a totally different format than before, so I'm having to have it all reformatted, and I'm adding back the content, the recipes, the tips, and all those different things on a weekly basis. So if you continue to check it out, you'll see more and more of tips, recipes. I'm also working on, and I'm actually going to be starting locally here, classes in how to cook healthy, because what I'm finding is particularly for families and with this, the childhood obesity thing being such a huge issue, and I'm noticing how it's becoming more and more an issue, and I don't think we've really addressed it yet. But I want, if families eat right, obviously the children will eat better. So I'm trying to teach families how to eat healthfully, and I'm really you motivated me in this area, Steve, but I think there's a need to understand some of the key elements to healthful weight loss, because there's so many unhelpful weight loss and so much misinformation out there.
Absolutely.
So what I'm doing, I'm also offering a course in healthful weight loss. And locally, I'm offering all of these things free to institutions like schools and churches and all those different things. And I'm also willing to answer any questions that might come in from outside of the state or internationally or whatever the case. Because again, I'm trying to fill myself up with as much knowledge as I can, but it needs some place to go. I need to share it. It's not just important to know these things and experiment with these things, because actually I just spent some time really refining my whole health program, my workout routine, and all these different things, because I needed to live what I've been preaching about.
Right.
So
exactly.
All of that you can find at the website.
And you also have your Twitter too. So what's your Twitter handle? I think it's Helpful Chef.
Helpful Chef. Helpful Chef at Twitter.
And you have a YouTube page as well?
I do. It's The Helpful Chef.
Okay. There you go. So
I welcome comments.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I haven't gotten to your YouTube page. That's the only one I haven't gotten to yet, but I'm going to go check it out, definitely.
But this has been wonderful.
And with your classes, out there, I can't wait to fly out there and actually be able to participate one in the near future, because
I want you to lecture, man. You're my inspiration. I want people to see you face
to face. We'll put together a class for them. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'm all for that. Absolutely. So again, I want to thank you, our chef, Cedric, the Helpful Chef, for being my guest today on Big Dreams Radio tonight. It was a great show. I mean, I think it was one of the best ones we had. But I can't wait until we get out there to see you again. you know, good things are really imminent here. Well, we can't get into them now, but things are percolating, as they say. So it's getting interesting. So we should have some good news here in the very, very near future for everybody. So for all that's involved, again, we want to thank you. We want you to keep eating healthy, keep getting out there and incorporating a regular fitness program, and keep working on your health. I think it's time we take back America's health once and for all. I think it will do this country a world of good. We got an administration right now that's kind of looking in that same realm. We need to get people to understand that there's a better way than just regular modern health care out there to get our diseases under control. And I think nutrition plays a key role, and that's one of the things that we would definitely want to be showing with our show. So as I end out, as always, I'd like to say peace and love plus health equal harmony. And you all have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Steve.
All right.